All right, good morning, everybody. I'll try to spread out here with everybody spread out as well and try to hit everyone here in the room. Thanks for joining. I know after a night where they do the after party kind of last night, it's tough to get up and going this morning, so thanks for joining us. My name is Craig Ashley. I'm a product manager on the Windows team. The goal of today's session is to cover just a bunch of different demos and opportunities that are in Windows 10, some that are new, some that are coming, that are good for schools, so some in terms of the IT side of this, but also then on the teacher side. So what can teachers do with some of this in the classroom to affect outcomes in the schools for themselves? Feel free to message me afterwards if there's questions that you don't ask during or you have questions about other things related to Windows. Happy to answer those as we move forward. And certainly with the smaller group, we can take questions along the way as well, just as long as we can get through the whole time here. Just from a value proposition perspective on Windows in education, we typically cover four areas, and I won't spend much time here. The goal of getting technology in the classroom is certainly the first one on here, which is the better learning outcomes piece. Technology shouldn't be used just to do the same things in a better way, just to do Word documents or just to create PowerPoints. It should engage the students and help the teachers to do teaching. And so we'll spend some time showing some of those pieces as well. Where we'll start is on the bottom piece. We'll show some of a few of the top-level deployment capabilities that have come out with Anniversary Update and are continuing to get better with the next release of Windows, the Creators Update, and then we'll back into some of those learning outcomes pieces. What can teachers and students do with Windows to help the teaching practice and to help the students? There's a lot of what we'll talk about will fit into one of these areas on here, which are ways that Windows is good in the classroom. We'll show the ability to simply plug and play with some STEM devices. I have a Circuit Playground, which is a little STEM device, which is super easy to set up with an app and just plugs in and works. And we'll see how that works towards the end of the session here. And then we'll cover a variety of these other ones on here as well, wireless display capabilities. We'll show some of the inking that's in some of these great devices as well. So, simply to start, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I covered this more in a session yesterday where we were doing a cloud deployment model. And if you attended that session, what you saw was in about 45 minutes or an hour, we could set up a classroom of devices with a cloud-first scenario. And it's pretty straightforward and pretty easy to do. And the idea here, and I'll just show the interface briefly, is that there's a new capability in Intune for Education that only surfaces what we think are the right bells, knobs, and whistles for schools to manage. It's about 150 things, policies in there. And it enables a simple workflow to get the devices up and running. So I just wanted to show you what that looks like live on my demo tenant here. And so if you've seen or used the current Intune instantiation, I like to call it Big Intune, which is everything that Intune manages, it looks significantly different than this. But the goal with this one was to be able to create policies for a group of users, a group of devices, in a pretty straightforward fashion. And to show how that works really quickly, you see Launch Express Configuration. It's kind of the big button up here in the left. I simply click on that, and then it's about four steps to go through the process of assigning policies to groups of users and devices if the internet's with me here. And you'll see it tells us what we're going to go through. You're going to get school information. You can do that in a variety of ways. School Data Sync is one that we suggest, and then you choose a group and you go through. I'm going to quickly go through this. If you're interested in seeing a liver or a deeper version of this demo, hopefully on Channel 9, the session from yesterday will be up where we go through the end-to-end piece of this, so you'll see it in more detail. But this is just the data that I've synced in. These are the students, the groups, and the teachers. I click Next, and then this is where I would select a group to apply policies to. Here I'm going to select it for all the devices. Click Next. And then this is a pretty cool instantiation. The Windows Store for Business is the place where you as organizations can purchase or volume license applications from the Windows Store for users. all that automatically syncs over to Intune. And so this is where I would just select apps, web apps, a variety of things, and I would apply those to the users here. And then finally, in this simple workflow, there's some settings that are pre-assigned here. These are the settings that we've been told are the basic ones, and we've chosen some ways to configure it out of the gate. For example, the camera up there says you can simply turn it on and off with that knob there. If you've seen in Intune how this works, you have to create some policies and do a variety of things, so it's not a simple switch for some of these policies. So we've tried to simplify that piece of it. Now, the last thing we'll do is just click Next, and you'll see here, this is what I did through that process workflow. So in just a minute or two, I've created a set of policies for a set of devices that when they're enrolled, or if they're already enrolled, when the user logs in, they'll receive those policies, those applications, and everything as part of that. So it's a really, really quick, fast workflow to set up devices. I would simply click Finish, and it would be ready to go. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention on this one was that this is just using the Intune infrastructure behind the scenes. So you can use both interfaces. If you want to use Intune for education for a simple set of devices, maybe it's for student devices, you can manage devices that way. If you then need other devices in your ecosystem and chatting with schools and everybody here, schools are very heterogeneous in device type. Right? You have Apple devices, you have Windows devices. The big Intune can still manage those other devices that Intune for Education doesn't as well. And the policies work together because it's the same infrastructure on the back end of that. And so I would simply click Finish. I'm going to X out of this one. And then it just gets me back to the main screen. So that's just a really quick run through of Intune for Education, which is coming out in a month or so here. You can go to aka.ms.intune for education and sign up on a link, and it will give you more information when it comes out and put you on a short list for preview capabilities as well if you're interested in trying some of these live before they go into release. All right, so we're going to keep going. Any questions on the Intune piece there? All right, so next step here would be this is more Windows-specific stuff. There's a lot of things that we've done under the covers in Windows in the anniversary update and then in Creators update, policies that allow Intune for education to work well and a way to put those policies on devices. And this first one is called the Setup School PCs app. And just a few notes on this before we take a look at it. You can go to the Windows Store today and download a version of this application, the Setup School PCs app. And what it's doing is it's applying specific, school-specific policies to help devices run better over time and log in more quickly. And so behind the scenes, what it's doing is it's setting these types of policies on the devices. You'll see I have a device that I'll log into. It sets up a specific start menu with school essentials at the top. And it removes other apps on devices that aren't school-specific. What that helps do is it helps the device log in faster because those apps don't have to register at login. So one of the end goals of using this is performance, being able to log in quickly. So fast first-time logins is the goal of part of this here. The last piece that this one's doing is it's managing profiles on those devices. I have an example of one of the newer devices that's coming out. This is an Acer B118. That's coming out, it's a touch clamshell. It's a 464 device, so it has limited RAM and disk space on it. So that account management piece is managing resource constraints on devices. If this is sitting in a shared cart in your school or in your library, and you have a bunch of users that are logging in, if those profiles stay on there over time, it'll slow down the device, and it'll add a lot of data and use the resources. But what the account management piece does is, over time, it removes profiles, the first ones that were put on, to manage disk space and to keep the device running. Now, that doesn't mean that users whose profiles aren't on there still can't log in. Users can still log in, but if their profile's been removed, it'll be just like a first-time login. Second-time login on those devices are pretty fast, in the five-second range. So if a user's logged in with their profile on there, it'll log in really quickly using a lot of the policies that are associated with this. So let's switch and look at that app and kind of see it live here. As I mentioned, I can pull up the Windows Store here, and if you want to go look at what the app looks like today for anniversary update machines, you can simply search in there for setup school PCs. And if everything's working correctly, it'll pull up this application right here. It's free to download, and what it does is it creates a provisioning package that you use. So let's take a look at what the new version of it looks like here. The new version has added capabilities. Schools have told us there's more stuff that we want to do with this provisioning package to easily set up devices here. And so as I click through here, what we're thinking on the back end of this when we use this is that we're going to be setting up a cloud-first device. The goal of this is to get a device enrolled in Azure Active Directory, MDM enrollment, which would be the Intune for Education piece that we just talked about, and ready on the first day of school for users. So once this package gets applied, you can simply close the machine, and on first day of school or when you're ready to give it to a teacher or a student, you simply hand it to them and they log in with their AAD or their Office 365 identity, and they're off and going. And so in order to get the USB to work like that, there's some suggestions we make in here. And the first one is that you would log into your Azure AAD tenant or your Office 365 tenant. I'm going to skip that because it's not functioning right now. It's something we're still connecting. The next step is to connect to the Wi-Fi. And so the Wi-Fi here, put in the password. And hopefully I put in the correct one. The suggestion here would be to be on your Wi-Fi network as well, because then you would recognize it and you could put it in. There is a location where you can add in the SSID as well here. So if you're not on network or not connected at a given time to create this provisioning package, you can still do that. Now, the reason that we wanted to log into our AAD tenant is this one, because we've set up groups in AAD for different things in our school. It might be a specific classroom. It might be a specific grade. Here it's a cart or a science lab. So what I can do as part of this is I can set up these policies and associate them only with the cart policies that I would want to. So for example, I could select cart one and I would be creating policies for a device that's going into cart one here. You have the option of setting up guest accounts. This just simply means that somebody can log into their device without using their login and password. This is typically good in the earlier years in schools where we don't have passwords or we don't give passwords to users because it's harder for them to remember. And I'd simply click yes here, and then it would set up that account on the device. We'll talk more about this one. This is kind of like putting the cart before the horse, but Take a Test is a high stakes assessment app that's inbox in Windows on Pro Editions and above. And its goal is to focus on, and we'll talk about it in a bit here, how you set it up. Its goal is to allow you to push high-stakes testing or yearly testing, online testing to students. And as part of the Setup School PC app, you could set that up for all the devices that we'd connected to. And right now we have some options here. If this was, for example, a STEM classroom, right now we have some curated categories of STEM apps and science apps that are offline provisionable. They can be provisioned from the store in an offline manner. So as part of this, you'd be able to click on these and they'd be installed as part of the provisioning process on the device that you put the USB drive into. And then finally, we know that we like to customize our devices. So if you have a specific lock screen that you want to put on a device for your school or a picture or something like that for your university, you could install that as part of this process as well. And then all of these devices that are set up with this would be customized with that image. And that's pretty much it. My next step is I would take a USB drive and I would put that into a new device, a device that I had just purchased and opened and was on first run. And so I have a couple screenshots I want to show of what that looks like here. Right now, the behavior and anniversary update, if you created this with the Setup School PC app and you applied the provisioning package, it would work just like this. On that first login screen that came up with the language, you would insert the provisioning package, you would insert the USB drive, and it would recognize it and it would say, looks like you want to apply this provisioning package, and you would simply click Setup. all of those things that we looked in that app would get applied as part of the process. And then when the machine came back up to lock screen for the first time, any of your AAD users with a credential could log into that device. Now, there's some magic that's happening on the back end, and it's coming out in Creators Update to make this process even better. Right now, what you would have to do is you would still have to put in a few added steps as part of this process. So it's not a seamless, out-of-box experience. With Creators Update, you insert the provisioning package, and it takes over. And there are no more clicks. There's nothing else to do. There's something that's happening behind the scenes on that. It's called bulk AAD enrollment. This is work joining to an Azure Active Directory domain. And what it's doing on the backside here is, through this process, it's creating a guest token or a guest identity in Azure. And it is joining the device to the Azure Active Directory domain. And then when the user logs in, it could be an administrative user and they get the rights that you've assigned them in AAD, or it could be a non-admin and they get those rights. So we don't have to worry about the first person joining having admin rights on the machine because of this bulk enrollment process. The last thing that happens is this enrolls in Intune for Education. So the device is fully manageable and is enrolled. The nice thing that happens here is, if you're familiar with Azure Active Directory as well, there's a couple cool features. One of those was that bulk enrollment. It's automatically enabled with Intune. The other piece of that that comes in the solution is enterprise state roaming. So when students sign in, if they do log into different devices over the course of a day or a year, their preferences and their settings roam with them across those devices as well. So there's some nice kind of cloud magic that's happening behind the scenes in this scenario that makes the device good for the students. And again, as soon as it goes to here and goes back to the login screen, any of your AAD users can log into that device. So I want to show you just really quickly what that looks like on this device that I've enrolled. So this one right here, as it wakes up, if you set up a device with this today and you use up the Setup School PCs app, this is exactly what it would look like on Anniversary Update. It has a kind of a classroom-oriented lock screen on it that can't currently be changed. All those policies that we talked about are applied, so the logins are fast and a variety of other things. So I'm going to log in simply as this student, Cheryl Garner, on here. And again, because I've logged into this device, that login process is incredibly fast. And if I pull up the PC settings and pull up my accounts, you'll notice here, we'll go back. You'll notice that Cheryl is not an administrator on the account either, right under there. It doesn't list her as an admin. If I logged in with my credentials, Craig Ashley, on this one, it would show as an administrator on there. So again, what my permissions are, follow me across this scenario here as well. So we'll show a couple other things that you can do on these devices as we kind of transition down into the more teacher scenarios. Switch back. Now, for most of these, a lot of these things that we're going to chat about here today, I have resources in the document. We have some online documentation about how you implement each of these things in more detail. And so for Setup School PCs, for Take a Test, we'll talk about, there's an Office Mix video that runs through this in detail as well, and online TechNet documentation about how to use it. So you should be able to download this presentation and get to those as well. So quick run through on the Setup School PCs. So Intune manages the devices, Intune for Education. Setup School PCs help us get those devices enrolled quickly and ready to go for the first day. Now, Take a Test is what I mentioned was for the high-stakes testing piece here. And I had some interesting chats yesterday after the session when we talked about this from a couple of the schools here in terms of the direction that Australia and some different places are going in terms of online testing. Take a Test is purely meant to make that deployment process of those high-stakes testings easier to do. So the way it works in the U.S. and chatting on some of the plans for how it's going to look here as well is a lot of times one of these testing vendors creates their own secure browser or their secure browser app, and you have to install that app. Or if you're using, say, Windows 7 for that testing, you have to install a bunch of Java updates because a lot of the testing sites need specific updates to Java on that. So what we did in anniversary update, so this is in 1607, the version of Windows update that came out, and it will get better in Creators update, is we've provided this inbox application called Take a Test. It's what we call a headless application. So if you search for this or a student searches for it, you don't see it on the device. It's meant to open up only for testing capabilities. And I'll show you how to set it up. But what a student would do is they'd simply say whatever you called it. Maybe you called it Take a Test specifically. And when they clicked on that, it opens up into that online link that you give them. And then they take the test. And behind the scenes, it's doing a whole bunch of stuff here. Behind the scenes, it's locking down a whole bunch of different things that need to be done. And it's these on here. They can't surf to another location. They can't take screenshots. Other apps can't be running. I can't connect to external displays. I keep telling the Take a Test team, it makes it hard for me to demo this because you can't demo this on a connected display because it'll show up black. You can't demo it across a Skype session because it shows up as black, because you shouldn't be able to share these tests. It's only for the student to be taking. So all of these things are really focused on locking it down so nothing can get in the way of that assessment that they're taking. Things like updates or notifications and pop-ups, all of that is blocked with this when Take a Test is enabled on those machines. So let me quickly show you a couple different ways that we can set this up. So I want to show you how you would set it up in Intune, and that's how you would blast out Take a Test to a broad variety of users. And then I want to show you how you could do it locally. If you had 20 devices, you could set this up in PC settings as well. You would just touch each device separately when you're doing this. And then finally, we'll come back to what the experience looks like for the user here. And so if we flip back to Intune for Education, on the left-hand side, there's this Take a Test profile. And so I can simply click on that, and it'll allow me to create a profile that will get pushed out to devices and to users here. So I simply click Add a Profile, call it Test Taker or Take a Test, something along those lines. And I don't have an assessment URL to put in here, but this is where I would put the one that the testing vendor gave me. In all reality, this will lock into any URL that you put on here. So if you wanted to test this out on a machine, you could create a Microsoft Forms, which is an assessment that you could create, and you could put it in there, and it would link into it and lock in when you opened up Take a Test as well. So there's a variety of things that you could put in there. You'll notice there are a couple other things. I mentioned about screen captures and a couple other things that are blocked on standardized tests. Because of some accessibility requirements driven mainly out of the UK, we've added some things in Creators Update. One of those is to allow a screen capture. There's a specific set of accessibility requirements where students with individualized learning plans need to print out their test or do a screen capture as a result of that. In Anniversary Update, you couldn't do those things. But you can enable some of these policies per student with the Creators Update that's coming out. So you could do this specifically if you wanted to. There was another one about the ability to monitor. There are some tests that do need to be monitored as part of this as well. And so there's a policy, it's not in here right now, but it's coming, that allows tests to be monitored from afar too. And so that would be in your hands as the administrators on the technology side to understand what of those would be required here. And then the simple thing I would do is I would just click Save, and that would get pushed out to all the students. Now the other option here is simply in PC settings. And so actually let me just click back through here. When I go into PC settings, I would click Accounts, and this is setting it up locally. I would click Access Work or School, and then right down here, you can see Set up an account for taking tests. And so I would simply click on that, and this is the workflow that I would go through to do this locally on a device. It's manual, it's steps to go through, but it does pretty much the same thing that it did in the other ones here. I simply go through here and I choose an account, and I've set some of this up ahead of time. To do this in PC settings and to do it on each device, you have to set up a local account for this. So you would have to set up a local account on that device and name it whatever you wanted to. So ahead of time, I've done that. My local account here is simply Take a Test, and so I would click on that one. And then just like we did in Intune for Education, I would simply input the URL of the test that I wanted this to be associated with. And now I have a Take a Test account on this machine locally as well. And it's something that I can do ad hoc versus having to have a management tool to do that more broadly. Now, what does that look like for the student experience here? It's pretty straightforward. They would have an account on the device, and this screenshot shows it already going to this point where I would click sign in, but it would say take a test in the bottom left with other accounts that are on the machine, and they'd click it. It doesn't require a login to do, because the tests typically give you a login for the students to log into, so it can track them when they do it. So it's simply click the login screen here. And then this is an example in the United States. This is a test from the Smarter Balanced. And this is the secure capability of that from AIR. And in essence, in the US, this is one of the testing companies. And this is the URL that would be provided for the student to log into. So if they were taking this SBAC test, Smarter Balanced Assessment, this would pop up when they open Take a Test. The teacher would have given them a login ahead of time for the test specifically, their ID and their name. And then they would get the test that was assigned to them by that online testing vendor. So it's a pretty straightforward piece there. Now, as an interesting offshoot of that, the problem we were trying to solve there was the high-stakes testing piece. But the interesting one that came as a result of that is that teachers told us through the user studies, they said, well, I give a lot of other tests that aren't necessarily high-stakes tests. They don't need as much of the lockdown. IT doesn't need to manage that process for me. So can we do that as well? And the result was that we could. And so the interesting thing here with this offshoot is that you don't have to set up a Take a Test account on that device in this scenario. Because Take a Test is on there, it'll open up if it's invoked. And so what we've done here is we created kind of in the left here, you'll see there's some information on there. The URL specifically that we're going to lock into is a Microsoft Forms, which I mentioned is just one of those everyday surveys. And so in the center there, that HTTPS, the forms, is the URL that we're going to lock into. There's some information ahead of time, which is the MS Edu Secure and the Enforced Lockdown that goes after. So what a teacher can do here is they can take this link and embed it. So that is embedded in the link to the quiz up there. So what will happen is if a teacher is using class notebook and he or she has quizzes that they give out on an ongoing basis, they would simply click on that link, and then they would go into the Microsoft Forms or whatever other assessment they had for that. So they didn't have to set up any of the other take a test up ahead of time. That link that the student clicked on simply opened up in that. And so if there's other tests, other things that they give, this is a simple way to lock down other things on their device from happening. And then you just Control-Alt-Delete to get out of that experience there. One thing that's coming for Creators Update on this is on trying to figure where we're going to put it now. Likely it'll be on Microsoft.com, WAC Education, will be an online tool for the teacher to create those links. So they won't have to be responsible for knowing that little bit of information that goes in the front and the end. They'd simply input the forms, and it would spit the link out that they'd use as well. So we're trying to simplify that process as we move forward as well. Similarly to with Setup School PCs, there's some pretty good documentation online about how do you do all of these things that we were talking about, setting up, take a test. And then there's also an Office Mix, which is listed on there, which goes through a live version of seeing how it works. So the demo on that one was using VMs, and we were using that to show how everything works from start to finish of the Take a Test capability there. So both of those you can access. So any questions so far? Take a Test, anything else? Yes. Yeah, so what I didn't show, the question was, I'm showing the workflows for setting up Take a Test in Intune for Education, which is the simpler way to do it. We do have, if you go to the Take a Test documentation link on there on TechNet, we do show how you can set that up using traditional Intune, as well as that same capability is available to set up in SCCM as well. There are more steps. There's more stuff to do there. It takes more technical knowledge, like, for that you guys have to set that up. It's not just a It's not as simple as it is there, but it is available through that way as well. All right, so we're kind of continuing to go down the ranks here, getting devices set up, setting up some of those testing things. Another thing here is the Windows Store. Now, the Windows Store itself is on all Windows 10 devices, and consumers, anybody can access that and can pull down applications from there. With a Microsoft account, anybody can purchase on their behalf as well. So there's a bunch of stuff that's in there. The one area that I want to spend a little more time on is the Windows Store for Business. What the Windows Store for Business does is it allows you as organizations to go in and get apps on behalf of your users. And the way it's going to do that is it's connected to Azure Active Directory. That's what we're joining devices to. It's the same identity as an Office 365 identity. So if your teachers or your students are using Office 365 and that's their identity you're giving them, that's what's integrated with this process. And it's a little easier just to see how it works than to chat about it. So let's switch over here and take a look at the Windows Store for Business. I'll be very upfront with you. We've been trying for a long time to get the name changed. Simply, if you're on an education tenant and call it Windows Store for Education, we just don't have luck there. It is called Windows Store for Business. However, what you get as an education organization is you get an education-focused Windows Store for Business. So you'll notice what pops up here in the first categories are Minecraft for Education. So what we're trying to do is to curate this for educational needs. And if I scroll down, you'll see Organize Your Classroom. If you are in the traditional Windows Store for Business, I think the first one is called Productivity, and it has different apps that are surfaced there. But as we keep going down, you'll see, different categories, science, connect and collaborate, math, that are specific to education. Everything is still in this Windows Store for Business. Any app that's in the Windows Store that you can purchase with the Windows Store for Business is here as well. And you would simply search for it up in the upper right here. So if there's some specific application that you wanted to find or you wanted to see if it's in there, I'm going to search for Arduino. Arduino is a coding application, really straightforward coding application that will let me, and we'll show you how to do this a little bit later, let students very quickly program a circuit board like this and do a variety of real-world things with it. And so you'll see it's found it here. And so what you would be doing is you would be going in here and you'd simply be purchasing these. So it says get the app. I'd click on get the app. It says that it's been purchased and added to my inventory. Click close on that one. And if all's working well here, it's going to ask me a couple more questions about that app. It's going to let me add it to my private store. Private store, if you haven't seen that, I have one set up. Private store is a tab in the Windows Store app. When you open the Windows Store app on the client, it will show up to the far right of all the other categories, and it would be named whatever you named it. So yourschool.com. When students or teachers clicked on that, the only applications that would be in there are the ones that you've purchased and assigned to that. So I could assign this to the private store here, and it's going to do that. Now notice, it does say it takes a little bit of time to do that. So typically 24 hours or less to have it show up in the private store. Now the other nice capability here is that this syncs up automatically with management tools. So if you're using Intune for Education, so for this example, what I'm using here is you go in and you link in your management tool to the Windows Store for Business. And see here we're showing it to the Microsoft Intune tenant that I was showing you there. Intune for Education is going to automatically sync all of these purchases over into the Intune console so that you can assign the apps to specific users. So they don't have to go to the store to purchase those or to pull those out and install them. You simply assign them to the users, and they get assigned when the users log into those devices. Now, just a couple other things on here to show. On the Manage, if I pull down Manage and I click on Inventory, this is where all of the applications that we've purchased, free or purchased, show up here. And you can see here, the Arduino app, it says for the private store, the ad is in progress. And for some of these other apps, ad is in progress as well. I can check a couple other things here. I can check the licensing details on it. I can assign it to people through here So assignment via the Windows Store for Business sends an email link to the user. They click on that and install. In the Intune for Education workflow, it simply puts the app on the device for the user there. Now, one other last thing here is when you have an edutenant set up like this, there are some of the standard Microsoft apps, first-party apps, that are already part of that. So there's 7 or 8 apps that are already included in that Windows Store for Business portal. You can remove those or do whatever you would like with those to get them up and going as well. The last thing here, we'll do Private Store first. We can show you how to set that up. On the Private Store tab, this is where you would simply name. Down in the bottom there, it says display name. Mine is Ashley Demo. So in the private tab, I have a couple different tenants. I think on this one, it'll show up as Craig Demo, but I also have a private store called Ashley Demo. So that's that private store in the Windows client that the student would log into. And then finally, you can also set a couple different permissions for other users. As you guys are probably going to be the admin on the Windows Store for Business account, you can add additional admin users. And then there's a couple other roles that are in there as well. You can allow, for example, you could provide a teacher access just to go in and to see what's there. So if they wanted to look and see what was possible, but not allow them to purchase or to distribute. So there's some low level of granularity that can be achieved in the Windows Store for Business. Yes? So the question was, if you have just a traditional domain joined machine, can it access the store? Yes. And so AAD is the basis for assigning and doing this on an organizational basis. So you would do ADFS Connect or a connection from AAD to your traditional domain join. And then what would be logged into the client itself would be the AAD account. The other option, and most schools don't allow this, is you could also, if you just wanted a user to have access to it, they could sign in with their Microsoft account as well and purchase it, and purchase applications or do things as well. A lot of the schools we've talked to don't allow the Microsoft account to be joined to a school-owned device, but there is a way for them to in the traditional method. For example, my machine I'm doing most of these demos on is traditionally domain joined, but we're connected to the AAD account at Microsoft. And so I get the Microsoft tenant, and they can push apps to me as well. All right. So what I wanted to do here was to switch back. In this workflow here, if I go into the manage inventory, what I'd like to do is to switch gears here and show the Circuit Playground example. So if we want to start talking about what can teachers do with some of this tech that came in Windows 10, one of these examples is I purchased the Arduino app. That was that app in the Windows Store, free app for doing programming of a variety of different circuit boards in STEM learning. I'm going to switch over to my device here and show you what that looks like on one of these school setup devices. So again, I'm just simply logging in as the student on this device. And we'll show you first the private store here. So this is the Windows Store client on that device. The private store that I've been talking about is this last tab on here. And on this one, it's in a different tenant than the one I was just showing. It's called Craig Demo. And so what shows up in that private store are the apps that I've assigned a private store from my tenant here. There's also a hybrid situation. There are schools that don't want students to access the rest of those tabs on there, so they can't find other applications. You can block the rest of those tabs. So the only thing that the student or teacher would see is your private store in that catalog as well. Now, once I have that, I think the cool offshoot here for the teacher scenario, and we have a couple different things going together here, is if I wanted to set up a bunch of devices really quickly to teach a STEM lab in a library or something like that, I could create a class notebook with a lot of information about what this Circuit Playground is. So this device right here is about $19, this Circuit Playground. And with it and the app that I'm going to show you in just a second, I can do a whole bunch of things. And the coolest thing I think about this is that when I first saw it, it has a bunch of lights that light up, and it makes some noises. And I had to sit back and think, you know, depending on the level of the student, that could be exciting just to see those types of things. But it's the real-world applications of what a little device like this could do that's kind of the cool piece of it. And so what I just wanted to share with this in terms of the learning outcomes is that this is actually a OneNote that we will publish a little bit down the road here. We'll put it up online specifically for this STEM use case. But what you'll notice is that there's a whole bunch of different sensors on this device that do a bunch of real-world applications. And so what we've done in this OneNote is we've captured a walkthrough here. So once these devices are provisioned, I have my Arduino app on there. A teacher can simply take a class set of these, the students plug them in and start coding, which is what the device lets them do. Now, this specific program that we have on here, that I have on here right now, it's called a comm switch. So when I hit it like this, it just makes a noise. Again, kind of cool. But the real world application is that the same sensor that's on that, that's doing that, is the same type of sensor that's used in earthquake situations. Buildings that are in earthquake zones as an IoT device, an Internet of Things device, it works exactly the same way. The sensor is sensitive enough that if they start to feel tremors, it reacts to it and starts doing certain types of things. So it's cool to be able to code and to put these on here. But again, the real world example there is it's tied to specifically the learning thing that you want to do. It's just that the students get to test it on something that's cooler than reading it in a book. And it's pretty straightforward to do this. This is one of the nice things that I mentioned or showed on that top 10 things for Windows. So many peripherals and things just plug into the USB ports. And this is an example of one of those. I don't have to load additional drivers or do other things for this one specifically. I just download the app and I go. And so I'm just going to do a quick switch on this and show how quick it is to upload code and to switch this around. So I'm going to go into the file here. It's pre-populated with a whole bunch of examples. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down here to this Adafruit Circuit Playground, and I'm going to click this demo. It's going to pull up a new screen here. And so I'm simply going to upload that, which is this arrow button here. And if the demo people are kind to me, what it's going to do here is it's going to compile that code, just like in a real situation. And it's compiling the sketch. Sometimes when it shows the red, it's bad, but it looks like it's going to do it. And then it's going to put the new code directly onto the device here as it's updating. And you'll notice some lights that are changing down here as well. And then finally, it uploaded that code and changed what it was doing on there. This is pretty engaging for kids when they have something like this that they can really touch and feel and learn something from. There's another switch on here. I don't have my glasses, but and there's fun noises too. So there's a sensor switch on there for the volume activation piece of this. There's really just a lot of cool things in there. As you may have noticed, this app can program a whole bunch of different boards like that. They do even more concrete examples of real life stuff. But it's as simple and easy as the kids can go in and switch some of those things around. One of the other cool demos on there is there's a sensor for sound. And so where this one is just the lights progressing around here, there's a sensor that recognizes volume in a room. And so they can go around, connect it to a battery on here, and just go around. And as the noise or the volume in the room goes up or down, then the lights go up and associate with it as well. So pretty cool, cheap thrills with a free app, and then just the circuit boards that come with that as well. All right, so switching back. And switching gears here again, as we kind of continue to progress down into some more of the Windows stuff. Inking is one of those things that we've thought for a long time has been really good for education. One of our goals that we're really focused on for this next time around as Creators Update comes out is we're focused on a whole bunch of low-cost devices that are pen and ink enabled. And this is this one, which I showed earlier. This Acer is a good example of that. Starts under $300, and it's 10-finger touch enabled, as well as has a pretty good inking experience. A number of years ago, prior to starting at Microsoft, I was a teacher. I taught fifth grade in the New Jersey public school system. And one thing that I noticed at that time, this was in the early 2000s, there weren't any devices that had inking on them. But when students are drawing versus simply taking notes, they're making meaning of what's happening. because that process of it going in the head and them translating that into written or to drawings or diagrams helps the outcomes on the backside. I used to walk around the room and watch the doodles that the kids were doing as we were teaching, and they're doing all sorts of funky stuff, but it's drawing conclusions and synthesizing from a variety of sources, and that's where the learning happens. That's where better learning happens, and research supports that. In areas like science and math, if students are doing the handwritten piece of that, it improves testing or assessment scores, which is really a measurement of retention, from up to 25 to 36%. And so if we can then take some portion of that with these great devices and start translating some of those things that we do on a daily basis on just regular paper onto the technology side, it's going to kind of go along those same lines. So focus on that better learning outcomes piece. And so what I'm going to do is show you just a few demos here of some of the apps that are Inbox in Windows, as well as a couple other ones which are pretty cool to test and try as well, some of the inking capability. Now, just a quick question. I usually don't see a lot of hands raised, but are any of your schools using an ink-enabled device today with a pen stylus? Okay, that's pretty good. That's typically a lot higher numbers than we'll see early on in this. So this will be pertinent. You can try some of this if you haven't done that already. The first one I'll show is the Ink Workspace, and then we'll show a couple apps that go along with that as well here. I apologize, the one I can't show you, because it's just not working for me today, is OneNote Ink to Math. Now, this will be coming out in the UWP, or the Windows Store version of OneNote, and then we'll go down to other apps. And I just want to highlight it really briefly, because this is cool, and I wish I could show you. But what OneNote Ink to Math is doing is you can write formulas in a OneNote. You lasso it with the pen, so there's a circle around it. You select it all, and then you click Ink to Math. And what it does on the right-hand side of the screen is it translates that formula and solves it. So it's doing some pretty concrete math across a variety of different areas of math so that students can look and see. The other side of that is it will also do graphing, so it will graph that formula. Now, one of the cool things, and this is in fluid math as well, this is where real learning happens as well. You can draw a graph. You can have the formulas right there. You can simply replace a number or a variable in there, and the graph changes. And I don't know if you guys remember back to anything in school when you were trying to learn math or equations or graphing. It's a pretty abstract process if you're thinking parabolas or things like that. And if I change X or Y, what's going to happen to the graph? Real time with fluid math and this ink to math, students can see what changing a variable does to a graph. And that's really important, is being able to see what's happening and not just have to grasp it in your head. So let me switch over to my other machine. I'm just going to show a couple of the ink demos that you can try out. Those of you that have these devices today, or if you're interested in getting one. So the first thing here, let me reduce all this other stuff. One of the interesting things on a Surface device, and this is Surface specific, but OEMs can work with it. If I click my pen, so I click the eraser part of my pen, that Windows Ink Workspace pops up. Ink Workspace came an anniversary update. So this was 1607, the update over the summer. There's a variety of things that I can do. I can create sticky notes with that, and then you can write on those sticky notes. One of the cool things of the sticky notes is that it recognizes certain types of things. So I could put in my flight number for later today. It would recognize that, connect with Bing, and it would pull up and tell me, the flight's on time, those types of things. So it does some cool hand recognition as it goes through there as well. The one I'm going to show a couple here kind of quickly is this sketch pad. So this is just a nice white space that has some cool inking capabilities with it. And you'll notice if you've used your pen on your devices, I'm a lefty, so my writing's not spectacular here, but it flows pretty well. The inking experience is pretty nice on a device. It's interesting, but the ink team is honestly trying to make it feel like you're writing on paper. And I have this discussion with them all the time. You're like, how do you do that? And they tell me it's secret sauce. But if you've tried it, it feels pretty good on some of these good devices. This Acer device that I was showing for under $300, it's a pretty good experience on there too in that price range. Now the cool thing I like on here with this one is I clicked on the top and I added the ruler. You can lay a regular ruler across something on a device and it will let you write as well. But a digital ruler is pretty cool. And so if I use just one finger, I can move that ruler around like that. If I use two fingers, I can manipulate the ruler side by side like that. But the cool thing, and I saw this demo for the first time quite a while ago, and I wondered how they did it and if it would work that good. But if you use your stylus on the side of that ruler, and I put it on here, and I start drawing, you'll notice that what it's doing is it's recognizing the side of that ruler, and it's giving me straight lines there. So it's kind of cool that the application's here. Now, this ruler right now is just in Windows Ink, but the Windows Ink workspace itself is honestly just a couple lines of code in applications, Windows Store applications moving forward. So we're working with a variety of the Ink-enabled apps that are in the store right now and adding in that functionality. You'll also see some of that coming to the Office products. Office has has pretty good inking capabilities in it right now as well. And so what we'll see as we move forward is we'll see this Windows Ink workspace capabilities, like that ruler, as well as some other types of things like the ruler that will come in there in a digital format as well, which are more useful in schools. So just a couple other things to show the general inking capabilities and other apps. If you have OneNote deployed and teachers are using OneNote or class notebooks or students are using those on ink-enabled devices, runs really well on those as well here. So I simply can put my pen down here and start doing this. Up at the top, I have a bunch of different things. So if I want to highlight things, just like I could on pen and paper, I can do this. So the inking capabilities here, when you think of OneNote, is just like having a notebook in front of you with a real pen and a real paper capability. So the last thing here, I'm just going to show this, but it's not. I don't have a great example of it because it's not running right now. This was that Ink to Math thing that I was mentioning. I would simply put that formula in there, and then I would circle it, and it would show on the right that it was solved and some things that are happening there. So last on the line here. This is an app that's been in the store since Windows 8. It's called Fluid Math. Right now, this is just a trial version. If you're interested, your Windows 10 device, if you have inking, you can use your keyboard on this as well. It's just not as fun of an experience. But you get a trial that you can just keep restarting over and over again, or you can purchase it as well. But what they've done here, and again, I apologize for my lefty here. And see if it works here. Yeah, that didn't specifically work for me there. But what it allows me to do, if it's going to recognize everything, is it should do the correct math there, which it did. And so the handwriting recognition here is great. You can put in the formulas here as well. And again, if my handwriting works for me, we'll do. And then I simply draw a line through there, and you'll see how it graphed it very quickly for me. So the cool thing here is I can erase that and insert a number there, and I can see how that graph changes over time. And there's a lot of complex math here. If you visit the Fluid Math site, they've got a bunch of videos up here on some very complex math and physics that this application does for you. It's interesting, once you get the handwriting piece down of this, it's easier than a graphing calculator. If any of you are using graphing calculators or remember those, I've got three boys right now, 9, 12, and 16, and my 16-year-old does amazing things with that graphing calculator that scare me. But he could very easily do that and see it in real time on an app like this as well. I think there's a question. Oh, yeah. So what I did for the graph there, apologies, I didn't say that. The question was, how did I bring up the graph? What you do is you just start in that equation box, which is kind of the grayed out area, and you kind of do this loop here, which is kind of like a V. And then it put it way up there. See if we can get one further down here. Yeah.
Does this apply all this software, apply the service hub as well?
Yeah, so Fluid Math is a UWP application. It's a Windows Store application. It will run on Fluid Math. And in fact, utilizing this app on Fluid Math or Fluid Math on a Surface Hub is phenomenal because you've got that big screen and it's a really great capability. So it will run this app on there. The other application we'll talk about in just a minute is if you have your Surface device and you're projecting, it's similar to a hub experience. And so using wireless display, which thank you for the question there, because that takes us kind of right into the next one here. I'll pay you later for that one. Is right into the wireless display thing. So if you can't afford a Surface Hub or something along those lines, and you have a projector sitting around, right, one of these wireless projectors that's projecting up here, Windows 8 brought this new capability called wireless display. It uses Miracast, which is a Wi-Fi industry standard. And what it's doing is it's creating a point-to-point connection to a wireless receiver. And so I have a couple examples of what these wireless receivers look like here. But if you have an old projector or TV that has an HDMI port or a VGA port that you can connect an adapter to, all you do is you buy one of these devices and they plug in. And what you do with that is you project everything that's happening on your screen up front. So if you happen to have a nice Surface device and you have Fluid Math that you have inking as a teacher, the teacher can now take that and walk around the classroom because they're not connected via a projector port anymore, and it frees them to move around and do a bunch of things while still projecting everything that's happening to the front of the classroom there. And as I mentioned, it's really easy. You simply take one of these devices and plug it in to the machine that you want to plug it into, and then it's a straightforward setup on the PC side of the house as well. So I simply go into my notifications here on Windows 10, and I click project. Now I don't have one that's plugged in. I don't think there's one up here right now. But what I would do is I would click search for a wireless connection, and what it's going to do is it's going to find this one that I have plugged in. These are from ActionTech. They're called Screen Beams. They've created a nice way to manage this device as well with a Windows Store app. So I can name this whatever I want, if it's Science Classroom 1 or Mr. Ashley's class. And then when I want to connect to it, then I would simply connect. It would show up on that screen there. So on the flyout, Mr. Ashley's whatever I called it would show up, and I'd click connect. Now what it's going to do is it's going to work exactly the same way as having a plugged-in connection. So all of these things that work when I'm simply plugged in, like these machines, I can show, I wouldn't want to show just my PC screen, but I can duplicate my displays, so show the same thing on both. I can extend, so if I want to keep something running on my machine, but I want to be projecting the second desktop, I can do that. And I could do second screen only, but it's really the extend or duplicate. If you like to use presenter mode on PowerPoint, it does that as well. So just like we're doing here, it's projecting the PowerPoint itself onto the screen, and then I have my notes, like in presentation mode, running on that machine itself. The other cool thing I like about this and why I carry them aren't just for demos, but in my hotel room, I can plug that in, and I can run Netflix from my machine to the screen. It's full HD, audio, video, all comes across that connection. The last nice point on that is there are other technologies out there that do wireless projection. This does not go across your network like other capabilities. This is a point-to-point Wi-Fi direct connection. So I make my connection directly to this, and I don't go across my standard Wi-Fi network. What's traversing is point-to-point on here and does not do anything else. Okay, excellent. now, the last thing I'll just show on here is a separate capability here, and it's in PC settings. If you don't happen to have one of these, and the traditional way that you do project is by having a desktop with a cord plugged into it, this was a cool thing that came out in the anniversary update. It's called projecting to this PC. Now, what this allows me to do, and I'll show you here if I click on that, is I can set up my device, that desktop that might be plugged in up front, to receive that same type of a wireless connection. So I could still be a teacher, and if I don't have a Miracast wireless receiver or the ability to do that, I could project from one Windows 10 device to another. And in this scenario, I would project to my PC that's connected to the projection point. And you'll see there's a couple things on here. You can do this from a Windows phone, if you have a Windows phone. Some of you might, but we don't see that a lot in the classrooms these days. But you could do it from the phone as well, or from a PC. You can require pairing, so you can require a PIN number to be used in this as well. And then finally, you can block it off with not plugged in or those types of things as well. There's some permission there, things which are interesting too. If I click on the permission, every time a projection is requested or always off, there's some levels of permissioning for people to be able to join, to be able to project on that machine as well there. So kind of an interesting offshoot there of some of that wireless display capabilities that came out. Now the last thing I just wanted to show, because I think this is cool on the back end, so let me wake up this machine here, is some stuff that's in Windows Insider Preview builds now. It is more of a consumer play because it requires Microsoft accounts and some other things to happen. But you may have noticed if you're on specific Insider builds, there's now a Books tab, which is in the Windows Store. And if I go into that Books tab, I can now purchase a variety of books that are in there. Now, right now, I have to have a Microsoft account to do this. So the applications for schools, probably not as broad. A teacher might want to use this for a reason if they have a Microsoft account attached or if they want to buy a book. But it's not just the books and stuff that's in there that's kind of cool. If you've seen this, the thing that I like about this is Microsoft Edge. And so if I click on this, kind of this three-level button up there, it opens up a variety of things in here. So if I purchase a book in the Windows Store, I download it to my machine, it sits here in my Books tab on Edge. Those books are what we call EPUB format. Edge is going to be a default EPUB reader. So you can purchase books or you can use free EPUBs, and you're going to be able to read that in Edge. The last cool thing I think on here as well, if you're familiar with any of the learning tools capabilities that are in OneNote now, are now in Word, online, Word, and a couple other locations, learning tools are focused on helping students decode. One of the biggest things with getting students to read are those first formative years where they're learning to read, and then we move them to reading to learn. So it's that decoding process that's really important. And what you'll see here are some interesting capabilities in this EPUB. I can make the text bigger. I can make it smaller. I can spread out spacing, or I can put the spacing closer together. There's a variety of fonts that can be used here. Right now, this is using Focus Font. This was a font that we created to help dyslexic learners to focus and to be able to read. So there's a variety of things we can do. So the last thing we'll show here on this one, I can go over to the bottom here, and I can also change the background. So if I need some of the different themes, the page themes, so that I can read those better, to see the lines on the screens better, I can do that. And then finally here,
Chapter I, the Science of Deduction.
I have the immersive reader, or the read aloud capabilities. And so what this is doing to me is similar to that learning tools, is it's reading what's on the screen and highlighting it. So you can think, really, anybody of any age who is having some troubles, dyslexia or anything like that, or having troubles decoding, you could set this up with bigger fonts, you can space the words, and then it can read to them as well. And so they're seeing the words, they're hearing the words, and making meaning there. Some of these capabilities will continue to get, pause that off here and close it out. But those capabilities will continue to get better as we move forward. Learning tools on the OneNote team had an interesting teacher. She had dysgraphic and dyslexic students. She had two of them specifically. And the IEP goals for them for the year were to move from, I'm trying to remember what the actual numbers were, like 6 words per minute to 14. And over the course of just a couple of months of using that immersive reader capabilities on the text that they were using, they'd moved up into the 30 words per minute range. There's a video of her online on the OneNote page that's talking about that. But I kind of like to wrap with that one, because I think as you think of getting the devices in the hands of the teachers and giving them reasons to use technology other than just typing on a Word document, some of these, when we get to the ends of this, are great. Great apps that engage the students with the STEM, the circuit board, being able to walk around with the wireless display is a reason for a teacher to use it. And then, of course, a technology that helps in the reading area for the students is phenomenal. And that's really what we want to focus on, is we want the technology to be simple to deploy and kind of get out of the way. And then we want the students to have learning outcomes, better learning outcomes than they might have with existing technology or if they were simply using pen and paper or traditional learning methods as well. So with that is the end. There's just a couple general slides here to show as part of the process in terms of the learning path and feedback here. I'm happy to answer any additional questions. I'm happy to stay over and answer a couple questions as well. So if anyone has some questions, feel free to shoot them out. If not, thank you very much for attending this session. I hope there was at least one, two, maybe three things that you could take back that could be useful either for you or for teachers in your schools as well. So thanks. Have a great rest of your time here.